Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and once again, welcome back to Flea Flicker. I'm your host, John Murray, and I really shouldn't have said this evening. I should say good afternoon, because it's about, what, 3:09 this afternoon, so I really can't say that it's good evening, but I must say good afternoon. Again, as I usually start most of my podcasts, for those who joined for the very first time, I want to say thank you for doing so, and as I've always stated, please invite your family, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, fellow co-workers, whoever you need to invite, please invite them on in. And certainly, we try to keep the podcast, hopefully it keeps growing and growing and growing. For those who've been from day one, I want to say thank you for doing so. And please invite your family, your friends, your loved ones, and your fellow co-workers, neighbors, whoever you need to invite, please invite them on in. Before we go any further, like I said, it's been a couple of days since I actually have done a podcast, but again, as the world of football, as it keeps turning, a lot more news coming out, a lot more rumors are coming out. One new hiring has developed, as we all know. Frank Reich is a new head football coach of the Carolina Panthers, as he got down to him, and Steve Wilks, who was the interim coach who took over for Matt Rhule this past season, it got down to those two, and Frank Reich won out. They want to go more offensive oriented, and Frank Reich certainly fits the bill. But we'll talk about Frank. We'll talk about that stuff later on. If we don't talk about it this episode, we will catch up on all the news and notes that's going around, the rumors go around in the next episode. For those, like I said, once again, if you got any questions that you want me to answer, I'm on Facebook, or you can reach out to me on Facebook. I'll answer any question I can. Doesn't matter, any football related, doesn't matter if it's about a head football coach or offensive coordinator. As I said before, playoff predictions, as we're down to the final four. Maybe a fantasy football question for 2023. Anything you need to ask me, please go ahead and, do so. If you don't, Spotify has a spot as well that you can ask me a question on there as well. Like I said before, if you don't listen to me on Anchor, I am on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music. I'm on those outlets as well if you need to. If you do not listen to me on Anchor, I'm there. Doesn't matter where you're at. If you're on a break at work or you're just chilling at home on a day off, like today, I am off, but as of most of my days off, I'm doing a couple of chores here and a couple of chores there, getting stuff done around the house. Won't be too much longer throughout the day. I will have actually the house to myself. Everybody's going out, doing stuff. I will stay home, finish up doing chores, watching TV, catch up on TV shows. You know how you are. You get busy with work and you get a day off. And you want to catch up on your favorite TV show or a movie that you've been wanting to watch for who knows how long. And today's the day you sit down and look at it. Or if you're reading a book, you can catch up on reading that book that you've been trying to read. But also, before we jump into football, the world of football, I'd like to thank, I have picked up a few more Facebook followers, from a photography, clothing store, even a couple of aspiring musicians, and certainly hope that the ones that I picked up, I certainly hope they're, hope they do well, and hope their career takes off, and they become, big time stars. As I always said, you want to try to live the dream, and we all have a dream. We always like to live that dream. We always like to strive to achieve that dream. But enough of that. We've talked enough. Let's jump right into football. And the first thing we'll bring up is we won't bring up the Frank Reich and the head football coaching right now. I want to talk about the Las Vegas Raiders first. And an article I read probably about a couple of days ago. There is a rumor going around by Joshua Daniels and Zig and Brad Ziegler, I believe, are looking to maybe, I guess in a way, maybe blow up the Raiders. Now, we all know that Derek Carr is pretty much gone. And there's certainly a lot of teams that are interested in Derek Carr's services, but Derek Carr was the only one on that list that kind of caught my attention. There was a couple of names. Hunter Renfro's name was mentioned in this article about maybe trading Hunter Renfro and also Darren Waller, the tight end, as well. Now, they didn't mention anything about Davante Adams. Davante has, I think, come out and stated that he would like to stay, that he is wanting to stay with the football team, but he kind of wants a little bit of say-so on the quarterback. Josh Jacobs. Now, Josh Jacobs is a free agent. I believe he is a free agent. The Raiders, my guess, would bring him back. There's been rumors that he will come back to the team. So, to me, let's say for the sake of argument, you have Jacobs and Davante Adams back, you know, back next season. Now, again, I think the thing is more of trying to get more money under the cap. Now, certainly we talk about Derek Carr. He's certainly going to be gone. At least that's the indication we're getting, and I think all parties are mutual. I don't think Josh wants him around. I don't think Derek wants to be around anymore. And of course, we've all speculated where Derek Carr is going to go, and there's going to be a lot of dominoes that are going to fall. One domino would be Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a free agent. Another domino is Aaron Rodgers, as rumors going out of Green Bay that Aaron could might be traded. Of course, you know, again, the New York Jets have always been in the news about. There's a rumor about maybe Aaron Rodgers, maybe the Jets could take Aaron Rodgers. We've heard Derek Carr get mentioned for the Jets job as well. The Jets, they have just hired themselves a new offensive coordinator. And if we don't get a chance to talk about it this episode, we will dive into that in the very next episode. But it's interesting. I mean, anybody comes in with a new – the thing is, if you got a new, you know, any new head coach or general manager have got their own philosophies. And Josh Adams has spent so many years with Bill Belichick in New England. I'm sure he has that. I'm sure he has a little bit of the Bill Belichick mentality in him about how he wants to run an offense. And I'm sure he's learned a lot from Belichick. Now, I think in the same article that I think Josh wants to put more emphasis and maybe a, you know, some slot receivers. Of course, you had luck with Danny Amendola, Wes Welker at one point in time, and you had Julie Edelman. Those, you know, guys that you play in the slot. And I think he's looking for a guy that can be a slot type of receiver. Now, technically, he kind of has that in Hunter Renfrow in a way. Now, again, I know Hunter Renfrow was hurt most of last season. And Hunter, I think he did sign a contract extension this past offseason. And like I said, evidently, whatever the case might be, Josh didn't really see a lot from Hunter Renfrow. And he's now thinking about possibly trading him. Now, certainly there's a lot of teams in the NFL with Hunter Renfrow. You got to remember, it wasn't that long ago he caught 100 balls and he got over 1,000 yards. And this is before Davante Adams came around. And Derek Carr trusted the man. So, if that is the case, to me, I wouldn't understand the move from Josh McDaniels other than a money move. I mean, Hunter was hurt last year, and maybe for some reason, Hunter doesn't fit Josh McDaniels' system. But to me, I kind of find it hard to believe, because to me, Hunter, because Renfrow kind of reminds me of that Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type of guy. He sort of kind of reminds me of that guy, so I wouldn't kind of understand the logic in that whatsoever as to why you want to trade him. I don't get it, don't understand it. But I mean, that's what the article is saying. Like you said, rumors are what they are, rumors. And again, this writer had just, you know, I guess he had heard maybe from somebody with inside the organization saying that possibility could exist. But again, you know, to me, the biggest problem then last year was injuries. I mean, how many times you see Davante Adams, Hunter Renfrow, and Darren Waller on the same field at the same time last year? It wasn't often. And yet Derek Carr struggled last season. But again, some people say that, some people that Josh McDaniels Derek Carr just couldn't get Josh McDaniels' system. Now, to me, Gruden was more tougher, I think, on the quarterbacks than Josh McDaniels is. And Gruden seemed to get the best out of Derek Carr. So, and to me, it seemed like that Derek Carr regressed. So, could that be Derek Carr, or could that be on Josh McDaniels? You can make your opinion on that. Some people thought Derek Carr could be a top 10 quarterback in this league. Some people feel that Derek Carr is overrated. Well, then again, some people think Josh McDaniels is overrated. Maybe as a head football coach, and that's certainly as an offensive coordinator, he's done an outstanding job. A lot of those years, though, he had one Tom Brady. And again, a lot of people could say, well, Tom Brady made Bill Belichick look good. He probably made Josh McDaniels look good. And you can make that, and you can certainly make that argument. You can make that argument. People have made the argument about Brady and Belichick for years now as who really gets the full credit for winning all the Super Bowls in New England. But for me, Brady has worked under a couple of offensive coordinators, and to be honest with you, but when Josh went by himself, when Josh went off to Denver Broncos, he thought he could make Tim Tebow the best quarterback in the history of the game, and he could not do that. And a lot of experts didn't understand why that he went out and got Tebow. But again, he didn't do a very good job his first time around. Now he's trying to get the Raiders. He had Derek Carr, and him and Derek Carr, for whatever reason, could not hit it off. Or could not get on the same page. And again, one guy seemed to excel under him was Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs had maybe a career year under Josh McDaniels, and now they want to bring him back, and they should bring him back, but of course, it all depends on what the price tag would be. And Devontae Adams, Devontae played like Devontae. He still got over 1,000 yards. And that was with Derek Carr, most of the year. And towards the end, you got Jared Sinham. Now, but again, with Hunter Renfrow, I can't see, I don't understand this. To me, Hunter reminds me of that guy, of that element. That's something that he is looking for. And Hunter fits that billing. Hunter, if he's healthy for a full 17 games, he can catch 80, 85 balls for you easily. Again, injuries were a big part of Hunter's problem. And it's hard for me to believe that the guy caught 100 balls, 1,000 yards, has deteriorated that much. He's always been a big fan of John Gruden's. And maybe that Josh doesn't see in Hunter what John Gruden saw in him. And everybody has a different opinion on different players. I mean, that's the way the NFL is, and you have to wonder deep down inside. Now, Hunter could go somewhere else, certainly, and be a decent player, certainly for anybody in this league who needs that third receiver. And Hunter could fit that bill. Again, he's a guy to catch 80, 85, maybe 90 balls a year. But to me, again, I don't understand what Josh is looking at. You could still make him put him in the slot. Now, the problem is, if you think Hunter is maybe a number three receiver, who's going to be your number two? Because, again, I think you have Keenan Cole, who probably won't be back. Hollins probably won't be back either. So if you want to get rid of Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller, then all you're going to have is, right now, Devontae Adams. You don't know if you'll get Josh Jacobs back. That you don't know. So right now, for the sake of argument, let's say all you have left will be Devontae Adams, and that's it. Let's say you don't bring Josh Jacobs back. Let's say Derek Carr is gone. Let's say you trade Hunter Renfrow or Darren Waller. Yeah, then who you got left? Devontae Adams and nobody. And that's what you'll have. And to me, I understand that you want your players, that you want to bring in your particular set of players that will run your system. But the problem is, what you're doing is you're tearing apart the team, and you're in a division with the Chiefs, who are in the AFC Championship game again for a fifth year. You got the Chargers, who always had all the talent in the world. But again, for some whatever reason, they can't take it over the top. But they're more talented than the Raiders, the Broncos. Heck, the Broncos even had a bad year are more talented, I believe, than the Raiders. So to me, I have to wonder deep down inside if Mark Davis is going to, if these rumors are true, would Mark Davis go along this game plan and say, hey, go ahead and blow up the team? And then you're going to have to wonder how much Mark Davis is going to have, how much of a leash is he going to give, Ziegler or McDaniels? How much can he's going to give? So to me, if that was the case, and the writer, where he's got his information from, if this is all true, I don't really understand the philosophy, because to me, Hunter could fit Josh McDaniels' system very well. Now, the other guy, Darren Waller, to me, I'm not going to say Darren Waller is Ron Gronkowski, but Darren Waller for the last few years has been, now granted, injuries caught him this year, but for the last few years, Darren Waller's been the top five or six tight end in this league, bar none. And you telling me that Josh Daniels wants to get rid of Darren Waller. Now, granted, Darren, he got a contract extension. He's got one of the topper tight ends. The only reason I can see him wanting to get rid of Darren Waller is money. Simply put, that's the only reason I can see why he wants to get rid of him. Again, I'm not going to say Waller is Ron Gronkowski, but he has that Ron Gronkowski vibe that can fit his system. Now, he's kind of looking for Ron Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez type of system. Now, to me, there are some tight ends in the draft that he could certainly go out and draft and maybe become the number two tight end to put along with him. I believe he could do that. But to get rid of Darren Waller, again, only thing I can think of is money. It wouldn't be the smartest decision in the world to get rid of Darren Waller. Again, like Hunter, injuries got him. And again, it doesn't end. Again, you've got Devontae Adams. But if Hunter's healthy and Darren Waller's healthy, it takes pressure off of Devontae Adams. And to be honest with you, if I'm a quarterback on the outside looking in, and maybe I want to come work for the Raiders, not be traded for the Raiders, I wouldn't like the idea that you go trade Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, and maybe Josh Jacobs is not going to be back. Yeah, that would not be a great selling job for me. Whether you are, for the sake of argument, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, for the sake of argument, or somebody else. Yeah, it's not a good sign. Now, I've always heard, and of course you always hear the rumors that maybe, of course, you always hear Tom Brady. Well, do you really think Tom Brady would want to come to the Raiders? Now, granted, he'll add Devontae Adams. That's enough said. But if I'm Tom Brady, if I want to hook back up with Josh McDaniels again, Josh, I got to have Hunter Renfrow. I got to have Darren Waller. I got to have this guy or that guy on my team. But if you'll get rid of almost all the offensive players except for Devontae Adams, it's not a spot for Tom Brady to be one to come to. And what if you're Aaron Rodgers, please? Now, Aaron loves Devontae Adams to death. They could get back with the same way, even without a problem. But if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're trying to win at least one more Super Bowl ring, to me, having Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller around is better than maybe what you had in Green Bay last season. And then you can turn and hand the ball to Josh Jacobs. But again, certainly with Aaron Rodgers, his contract is something that's going to be hard for the Packers to get out of under. They said it's not totally impossible, but it's going to be hard to get out from under. Or, anybody, or any other quarterback that you bring in, if you want to get rid of Renfrow and Waller, then it doesn't make a lot of sense. If I'm a quarterback, I want to go to the Raiders. For Josh McDaniels, the very simple thing is this. You want to give a room for a Waller because you want more money to maybe want more to try to get back Josh Jacobs. But again, if you do that, who do you go get to place on a room for? You don't have a guy on the roster to do that. You don't have a tight end to really replace Darren Waller. Now, you really don't have that guy. And to me, if you get rid of these players, then your record is going to be probably even worse than it was this past season. And if you're still going upwards, you're going further down. And if you do that, then Josh won't be around for the Raiders that much longer. And he'll be going crawling back to Bill Belichick and try to become an offensive coordinator once again. Now, again, he's already hired Bill O'Brien. Now, if Bill does a pretty good job in getting the Patriots offense at least a little bit back on track, then Josh is going to be out of an NFL job, period. But again, Josh might want to rethink. If the rumors are true, and this is what the writer's putting down there, then Josh might want to rethink about getting rid of Renfrow or getting rid of Waller. Now, I know Waller might be about maybe 30 now. And again, Waller, I get it, comes from the John Gruden. It was John Gruden that found Darren Waller. I believe on the Ravens, like practice squad or something like that. He's the one that found him. And it was Gruden that made Waller a star in his league. So again, he took a chance on him. The chance paid off. And now injuries, yeah, I get injuries constantly. Again, you got to give Gruden credit. Gruden found Renfro. Renfro has had a decent career. I'll give all these two guys. They certainly excelled under Gruden, but under Josh McDaniels, maybe not under McDaniels' system, he doesn't fit the system. And to me is, if they don't fit his system, Josh better find somebody that are just as good as those two to fit the system. Because like I said before, if he doesn't find those guys to fit the system, then he needs to do some quick improvement, because if he can't do that, then he's going to be stuck, then the Raiders are going to be stuck in the cellar in that AFC West for some time to come. Now, granted, Denver doesn't have a head coach as of yet. You keep hearing rumors spinning around, and we'll talk about that maybe not this episode, but maybe the next episode, maybe, or following episode. We'll see. But for Josh, if you want to give a run for it and you want to give a wallop because they don't fit the system, it's understandable. But you better figure out a way to replace those two, because all you have left is Devontae Adams, no Derek Carr, no Renfro, no Waller. You might not have Josh Jacobs, so you better figure something out. You better figure it out quick, or you'll wind up being without a job. And I'm sure Mark Davis deep down inside is not going to have the patience that you think he's going to have. And trust me, if I own an NFL team and you start taking that slide backwards, I got some improvement. If you can win maybe two more games than you did last year, and you get rid of all those guys, then you've convinced me that you can hang around and do the job. But if the problem is, if you have the same amount of wins, or you even get one less win than you did last year, then I got to think to myself, your system certainly is not working. But I get it. You want to implement your system in, but the problem is, you better have the players to implement your system. And to me, you better figure out a way to put Renfro, you better figure out to put Waller in your system, because I don't think it's too many guys out there that are going to come in here and fit your system. And you better figure out a way to get Josh Jacobs back too. Now, I get the quarterback, you want a new quarterback, but you better find a quarterback that can put up with your system. And the only guy I know, unfortunately, is Tom Brady. Could Brady become a Raider? Yeah, I'm sure it's possible. He's been the most logical candidate on everybody's list. Now, I don't see Aaron Rodgers going there and getting along with Josh McDaniels. I don't. Brady, yeah, certainly without a doubt. But if Brady's the only fit, he's the only guy that could fit. And trust me, if Brady went there, even at 46 years old, I think Brady could put up with Devontae Adams. And I'm sure Brady could get along with Hunter Renfro. And I'm sure Tom Brady could find a way to put Darren Waller to use. Yeah. Then again, if that's the case, then once and for all, and if let's say the Raiders somehow win the division, get in the playoffs, then it's not gonna be Josh McDaniels. It's gonna be Tom Brady that elevates his team to the next level. And then Josh, then again, if Brady does that, then it really was Tom Brady, not Josh McDaniels, not Bill Belichick. Maybe after all, it was Tom Brady. But for Josh, you better figure out a way to get those guys more involved. Granted, I know they got to stay healthy. I get it, understand it. But you better figure it out, because if you can't figure it out, then you'll be without a job here after next season. Now, speaking of one gentleman we did just talk about a couple of minutes ago, that was Aaron Rodgers. Now, again, doing a lot of reading here. Here was a spin the other day that I didn't really think about, and I kind of thought to myself, an interesting theory. There was a writer, and I believe it was like a Seattle sports writer, if I'm not mistaken. The gentleman wrote an article, and I like to read various things. I mean, I usually read a lot of NFL, ESPN, Yahoo Sports. Are kind of the basis. There is some interesting stuff. I do go to Facebook, and there's a section in Facebook where I can pull up some stuff, and I get sports stuff from various writers, various sources. Now, there was one Seattle writer said, if for some reason that they could not re-sign Geno Smith, yeah, that they would try to make a trade for Aaron Rodgers. Now, my guess is I'm thinking that Seattle will probably sign Geno, because I don't think a lot of teams are going to jump on the Geno Smith bandwagon. Geno Smith had a career year, and that can be one of those career years. He has one good year, and then he goes back to being what he was. Now, I don't know if I don't see Geno going anywhere else, and I know that his agent, I'm sure Geno and his agent are going to sit down and come up with a ballpark idea and go back to Seattle and say, hey, we need this. Now, I don't know, again, I don't know what Geno Smith is thinking along the lines of him and his agent thinking, but somebody says if they price themselves out of the range, could they go trade for a Aaron Rodgers? Now, somebody thinks Seattle doesn't have two first round picks, I believe, this year as well, I believe. So somebody said they could probably compensate Green Bay along those lines. But again, with Aaron's contract, is you got to figure out how to dole the money around. Now, what I will say with this is this. Again, you know, the offensive line has improved. I know in the last year's draft, they done an outstanding job by getting Cross and Lucas in last year's draft, and they both stepped in and done a pretty decent job for Seattle. So the offensive line has gotten better. You do have a nice young running back in Kenny Walker. Yeah, that's certainly that. If Aaron Rodgers was to, some oddball reason, get traded to Seattle, he has a young running back. Walker could be maybe his Aaron Jones, so to speak. Now, he does have two pretty good starting receivers in Metcalf and Lockett. He does have that in place. You know, maybe Metcalf could be his Davante Adams. Maybe Tyler Lockett could be his Alan Lazard, but I think Lockett's got more talent than Alan Lazard, but you get the gist of it. Now, they use two or three tight ends. They use Will Dissly, and they use Noah Fant, are probably the two best tight ends. Now, again, he has two decent tight ends to throw the ball to. Now, the only question mark was Seattle's been looking for a number three receiver for a few years now to take the pressure off of Metcalf. Now, to me, I still think somewhere deep down inside, Seattle could find a number three receiver. But to be honest with you, what they're missing is probably that number three receiver. Maybe that, and maybe one more steady running back is pretty much all the offense really needs. The defensive side of the ball is what needs to be worked on. Now, they did get better as time went on during the season, but the point is, Seattle still needs to work on the defense. Now, it would be a bad spot for Aaron to wind up in. Granted, he'll have a veteran coach in Pete Carroll. But the thing is, with that deal is I'm sure, I don't know if Pete and Aaron could actually get along, because I'm sure that, you know, Pete is kind of stubborn, stuck in his ways. And a lot of people thought that's probably why Russell Wilson wanted to get out, because Russell wanted to throw the football more, but he wanted to stick to defense and the running game. Well, to me, if you bring Aaron Rodgers in, Aaron Rodgers is going to be like Russell Wilson. He's going to want to throw the football more. Now, granted, he has two pretty solid receivers that he can throw the ball to, so I can understand Aaron's point of view. But you got a good young running back in Walker that can take the pressure off of you. But again, the thing with Pete Carroll is he's going to run the ball and defense. And to me, I don't think that fits the Aaron Rodgers mold. It doesn't fit. It's not going to fit his style. And to be honest with you, I think Aaron wanted to throw the ball more last year and just run the football secondly. I think that's what Aaron wanted to do last season. At least that's somewhat my take on it. And again, he had two good running backs, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And to me, the Green Bay Packers' success was run the football, play some defense, and let Aaron be the number two option in the offense, not the number one option. And I think that's what Aaron. And I think if Aaron was to, for some crazy reason, go to Seattle, he wants to be the number one option. He's going to want to throw the football. He's going to want to throw pass one, run two. And to me, that's not Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's always built himself on a pretty heavy one. Quality or two quality running backs. I mean, you have Marshawn Lynch. You move from Marshawn Lynch to Chris Carlson, right? Indiana, you got from Chris Carlson. You had Rashard Penny for like, what, 5 or 6 games. He played well. And then Penny got hurt. He went from Penny to Walker. So he's always had a stable of running backs that he could throw out there, you know, throw out there that he could rely on. But now, but again, that's not Pete Carroll. He wants to run the football, plain and simple. And to be honest with you, that is just not, yeah, and to me, that's not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, even going to be 39 years old next football season, the point is, yeah, he still wants to throw the football. And again, I can see the spot's not a bad landing spot for him because he's got these two quality receivers he can throw football to. So in Aaron's mind, that would be a bad landing spot. Of course, you hear Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. You've heard the Jets, right? But you have to wonder, to me, it would be a better landing spot. I think Seattle's a better landing spot for him than the Jets. For the simple fact is, it's because he's got those two receivers. And I think that's, you know, man, they've got a decent set of tight ends. So I think, to be honest with you, yeah, it would be a better landing spot. But the problem is, he's going to want to run, yeah, and he's going to want to, like I said, pass first, run second, and that's not Pete Carroll's game. Now, again, my take is, I think Seattle and Chino will eventually sit down. And I think they'll come to some kind of agreement, I think. Because I don't see Geno going somewhere else and having the success that he had last season with Seattle. I just don't see it. Maybe some other franchise see something different. But to me, for Geno, I think it's the best bet for him to come back, stay in that system, stay behind that offensive line. You have a young running back. You got the receivers. Again, I think Geno's going to stay. I just don't think Geno and his agent are going to be. I mean, I know they want their money, but But I think Geno and his agent got to be smart and realize that Seattle is certainly the best. It is the only place that he needs to stay. Whether the kind of contract they sign. Whether it's a 2-3 year deal, whatever the case is, I don't know what kind of years you're looking at. But Geno's 31 years old now, I believe. Geno's 31 years old. It's not like he is 24, 25 and can get a long extension. And you have to wonder deep down inside, the back of Seattle's mind. Granted, do you draft a young quarterback in this year's draft? Now, granted, they're not going to be now. Now, they're high up. They're like 4th overall to the point where they can get a quarterback. But that's not going to be the biggest focal point for them. The kicker is, if they want to be smart about it, they could have a shot at like a C.J. Stroud or not. But I know Will Levis from Kentucky is there. Do you go out and you draft a guy like one of the top, running backs? Was it Richardson's there from the University of Florida? Do you take a chance and try to go get him if you can't bring Geno back? And do you draft one of those guys and put them in there? Yeah. But for me, Seattle's going to sit there and they're going to spend it on defense, because defense is what needs to be taken care of. It needs to be an upgrade. But for me, I think Geno is certainly good return for Seattle. It depends on the money. And for Aaron Rodgers, I don't see Aaron Rodgers going to Seattle. It's an interesting fit. But the bottom line is, Aaron wants to pass first, run second. That's not Pete Carroll's thing. And again, the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes will continue to go on. As we talked about the Raiders, I don't see him getting along with Joshua Daniels. A lot of people are pushing hard on the Jets. If Aaron went to the Jets, they would certainly make the playoffs, and have maybe be on the cusp of a Super Bowl. Now, I think a Super Bowl thing is a little bit out there, in my opinion. I don't think they have what it takes to hit the Super Bowl, even if they were to land Aaron Rodgers. Again, the defense has made tremendous strides. I get it. You've got a decent offensive line if it's healthy, and that's the problem. If it's healthy. If Hall comes back from injury, you've got a nice young running back. Again, you got a nice young number one receiver in Garrett Wilson for the future, but Elijah Moore could be, you know, could be Aaron Rodgers' Randall Cobb, so to speak, if you want to go in that direction. He has that capability of being that type of guy. But again, I don't think Aaron would take the Jets up over the top, and that'd be a thing. It's hard to look around the league. I mean, one possibility is, what about, you know, the Commanders? Again, the thing is, you do have Terry Maclin. Yeah, you do have him. I mean, you still have the Curtis Samuel, maybe a Dotson. You might have a little something to work with, but I mean, I don't know. And certainly it's not going to the Giants. You can forget Philadelphia. And he's not going to Dallas, even though him being back with Mike McCarthy could be interesting. But to me, Dak would take less money. Dak is less money than certainly Aaron Rodgers. And again, Dak, I think, will be 30 next season, whereas Aaron will be 39. That's a 9 years age gap there. I've always thought the New Orleans would be an interesting fit. I mean, you have a decent offensive line, Kamara. Then you've got, you know, Michael Thomas, if he can come back and stay completely healthy. Good luck on that for the Saints if they can do that. I mean, there's something, a little something kind of to work with there. But again, I think the Saints are going to the point where they're going to do that numbers crunch, where they're going to have to get rid of some contracts as well. But again, it's an interesting thought process. Rodgers, Seattle, interesting. Veteran coach. But the point is, it's not going to work. Because again, like I said before, and I'll say it again, Aaron's going to throw the ball. Pete wants to run the ball first, throw second. Aaron, I think, wants to throw the ball first, run second. And again, it's not a good fit. And I don't know if I can see Pete and Aaron coexisting that much, to be honest with you. Now, the next thing I've got to bring up is, it's again more of the war of words, I guess, from Buffalo and Cincinnati. There was an article that's come out, and I think ESPN and several other people have come out, is the general manager for the Buffalo Bills, Billy Beane, has come out and pretty much, you know, said something that he thinks the biggest reason that the Bengals, I think, beat his Buffalo Bills last Sunday, was simply because that Joe Burrow and like Ja'Marr Chase were on a rookie contract, and Cincinnati has the ability to spend more money elsewhere, whereas I think that Buffalo Bills don't have maybe the money to spend here or spend there. At least that's the take I'm getting from Billy Beane. Now, certainly before the game, there was words coming from Cincinnati, coming from Buffalo. Now, being a Cincinnati Bengals fan, and I've read Billy Beane's article, and I've sat back and I've tried to look at it from both ends of the stick. Is Billy right? Yes, he probably is right to a point where, like I said, Burrow's on rookie contract, so is Ja'Marr Chase. And to be honest with you, yes. Now, whether that was the biggest factor that they won the game, I don't really think that was a big factor, really. I think, again, the Bengals pretty much used motivation, because everybody had Buffalo, Kansas City, AFC Championship game. Everybody had that seal, put that pretty much in writing. Tickets were printed, and I think the Bengals came out, they were more charged up, more ticked off, because the world disrespected them. And I believe that's why they went out. I think they had a little more, they were just out to prove people wrong. So, to me, I don't think it was so much that the contract that Bill's talking about. Now, Michael Parsons, I think, tweeted out he tweeted this out. He made a comment, and And Michael Parsons made, you know, made a lot of sense. He said, if you really think about it, you think about the rookie contracts. He says, yeah, Joe Burrow was one, was certainly one. He said, what about Jalen Hurts? He's on a rookie contract. Brock Purdy, he's on a rookie contract. Even if Trey Lance had taken to the playoffs, he would have been on a rookie contract. If you start going around, what about Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones was on a rookie contract. Granted, he's a, you know, a free agent now. He said, but the point is, other than Mahomes, maybe like Josh Allen, another guy, Trevor Lawrence. What was Trevor Lawrence on? A rookie contract. Now, to me, whether I want to say that Bill is sour grapes because Buffalo lost, and I get it. We all hyped up that Buffalo was going to be, and even I admitted myself, I had Buffalo going to the Super Bowl myself. I really did. I did because I thought they had the talent. Because you had the Josh Allen. Josh Allen is a good quarterback in this league. The biggest thing with Josh Allen, as I've always said, he's a modern-day Brett Favre. He can throw you four touchdown passes, but then again, there's next game where he might throw you a couple of touchdowns, a couple of interceptions. Those two interceptions will be costly. Now, to be honest with you, Buffalo's always had a problem with the running game. Now, Devin Singletary, I think, had his best year of his career, and, you know, James could be drafted for the University of Georgia. But they don't have like that. They don't have that solid number one running back that they're looking for. And of course, there were always rumors about them that maybe Barkley could go to, maybe all season they go out and they'll try to go get Barkley. Now, if they got Barkley, yes, that'd be a solid number one running back. But again, you go back to Bill Bean's point of view is, hey, get Barkley, because again, you're paying a lot of money for Josh Allen. You're paying a lot of money for Stephon Diggs. You're paying a lot of money when you got Von Miller in free agency. And I'm sure there's a couple of other guys that you're paying a lot of money for. Again, yeah, again, I mean, Bill, do you really fault teams for doing, you know, I mean, what are you supposed to, these teams are supposed to apologize. The Bengals are supposed to apologize because they're on a rookie contract. Yeah. I mean, there's not going to be a team in it. Do you think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to apologize, yeah, for having Jalen Hurts on a rookie contract? Do you think the 49ers are going to apologize because they had Brock Purdy on a rookie contract? Yeah. None of these teams are going to apologize for it. Yeah, apologize because they're on a rookie contract. I mean, let's be honest with you, dude. I mean, that's the way it is nowadays. I mean, again, you're not going to have an athlete that's going to take a home team discount. I know that Brady always got credit for taking a home team discount. So he can build, yeah, so the Patriots can build a club around him. And yes, that strategy worked. Because for 20 years, they had a heck of a run. But nowadays, quarterback is certainly the most important position on that football field. I mean, Bill should know that. That's why you pay Josh Allen the big bucks, because he felt he is that guy. Now, I get it. The Bengals are going to have to pay Joe Burrow the dollars. I mean, this is his third year in the league. Third year, mind you. And he's taking a team to a Super Bowl and now an AFC Championship game. And since Jamar Chase has stepped in the league, he's one of the top 10 receivers in this league. And again, it's like not only the Bengals, but it's kind of like Bill wants all the teams to apologize for doing this. Bill, this is a formula everybody's going to have. Again, it all depends on the quarterback itself. Yeah, or the other team, yeah, or other players in that team. Can they excel quick? I mean, can they excel quicker? I mean, some people end up being a bust. I mean, Joe Burrow could have been the next Jamarcus Russell. I mean, he could have been. Jamar Chase, he could have been the best receiver. Yeah, he could have been a hot receiver coming out of LSU. But then again, he could turn into be like another, I think it was Charles Rogers or Mike Wins from like the Detroit Lions, if y'all remember those two guys. I mean, he could have wound up being like that. But fortunately for the Cincinnati Bengals, that didn't happen like that. Burrow played well. Jamar Chase played well. Now, granted, both of them were on the LSU team that got the national championship, but what they played, what they were able to take it to the next level. And again, you know, Jalen Hurts, he had some, you know, he had a few bumps in the road, but Jalen Hurts had a last couple of years has played well. He struggled a little bit last year, but this past year, he's taking his game up a little more. Maybe the biggest reason, because they went out and got A.J. Brown to help them take him up to the next level. You know, again, now Brock Purdy is one of those diamonds in the rough that nobody, I don't think Kyle Shanahan nor John Lynch expected this from Brock Purdy. I'm sure they didn't. And Trevor Lawrence, now Trevor Lawrence was the number one overall pick. And Trevor Lawrence struggled, but once Doug Peterson got a hold of him, he started playing a little bit better ball. He struggled at first, but once he got under Doug's tutelage, and Doug, you know, helped him along, he started playing better ball. So the thing is, with Bill Bean, I get it. I mean, I get his logic, and he's right. He's right about that. But again, no NFL team can apologize for that. That doesn't make a lot of sense for you to come back here and apologize. Yeah, no team's going to apologize. I get it. You had to pay Josh Allen money. You had to pay Stephon Diggs money. Because if you didn't pay them the money, well, then again, they would take their talents elsewhere. And if you didn't pay Josh Allen money, Josh could take his talents elsewhere. And I'm sure he would take his talents elsewhere. But again, for the Buffalo Bills, now, don't get me wrong, Buffalo, again, next season, will be one of the top, maybe, three or four teams in AFC, to represent AFC in the Super Bowl. I mean, you'll probably have the same usual suspects. Kansas City, probably Buffalo again. I mean, they're going to be the top two suspects. And then, wherever else you can find, you know, in between all that. But again, man, I get it, Bill. And I get the biggest thing in all this is Bill is upset for the simple fact is because Buffalo was one of the favorites to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Heck, some people hadn't even won the Super Bowl. And I was one. So, Bill, I get it. I get it that you're upset. You get it that your team should have gotten to the AFC Championship game, and they should have gotten to the Super Bowl. I get it. But don't use excuses. And again, the Bengals are going to go through this. They're going to have to pay Merle money, and they're going to have to pay Chase money. They're going to have to. And unfortunately, I don't want to see the team break up. But then again, you got T. Higgins. Can you afford T. Higgins? Because there's been buzz going on that Higgins could get traded. Bears, Packers. There's even a report coming out that maybe the Cowboys could get him. That's the report I've heard. Tyler Boyd, for example. Who knows if Tyler Boyd could be gone? I mean, what about Joe Mixon? Mixon, you never know. Mixon could be gone maybe by, who knows, Mixon could be gone by, maybe he comes back next season, and by 2024, Mixon could be out of town. You know, you went out and got Trey Hickerson. I mean, you have to wonder how much longer could they keep Hickerson around? Could he be gone in 2024? I get it. This is the NFL. It's a business. You gotta pay. If you want to have a competitive ball club, you've got to pay. And the Bengals, Jacksonville at some point in time, and there's going to be other teams, I think, maybe Philadelphia. At times, there's going to be a point when you're going to have to. Yeah. Unless you go ahead and find a player where you can pay, yeah. Unless you can find a rookie that can come, then you can draft a guy, he steps right in and runs for 1,200 yards his first year. Okay. Then he runs for another 1,200 yards his second year. Okay. You can find a pass rusher like that, maybe another receiver like that. The thing is, I mean, it's an anomaly. Sometimes it's an anomaly that you can go out there. I mean, you can have, draft. That's the biggest thing is draft. Can you have a pretty good draft? Now, Bengals have had a pretty decent draft. They didn't have a great draft last year, but before that, they got Chase, they got Burrow. Good drafts. But the bottom line is, and for Bill, and Buffalo can't put together a good team. They do have decent drafts themselves. And I don't argue Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's got Josh. I still think Josh is a decent quarterback. The offensive line's not bad. Could probably tweak it. They don't have the number one receiver. You got the Diggs, but you had a consistent number two spot. You don't have that quality number two receiver yet. And I'm sure that's something that he's going to be looking for, whether it's in the, probably in the draft, maybe. And defensively, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the defensive line. You got a good, nice little rotating system in there. That's a possibility you might lose both of your safeties. And that's something that I'm sure that he's going to have to figure out if he can keep one. Or maybe if he gets lucky, both. Probably not. But I get it. Buffalo is still going to be a contender no matter how we look at this. But deep down, Bill, I get it, Bill, that you're upset that Buffalo didn't, that all the pressure you guys probably represent the AFC and Super Bowl, maybe even winning it, you didn't get the job done. And yes, to be honest with you, if I was in your shoes, heck, I'd be probably ticked off myself. I don't blame you. But Bill, please, for the sake of argument, the Bengals weren't the only team that are using the same strategy. And Michael Parsons kind of pointed that out. So, Bill, let me be honest with you. I'm a Bengal fan. I have seen your perspective, and I understand your point of view. But let me tell you, like I've told others in previous podcasts, I can look you eyeball to eyeball and tell you the same stuff right now. I got no issue with that. But, again, I know that John, Bill Bean, doesn't know who John Murray is. They could care less who John Murray is. But the point is, everybody else sees the same thing that you see. And the point is, whether you want to call it, sour grapes, I don't know. But again, let's be honest with you, dude. I mean, the Bengals are not the only team using this system as to, I mean, and trust me, the shoe's only on the foot, and you guys have won the game. Then what was Cincinnati? Well, yeah. Then what do you think? And what do you think Cincinnati's gonna say? Oh man, we should pay our quarterback more, our receiver more. Is that what you wanted? So, Bill, I get it. You're upset. Buffalo did not exceed the expectations. They should have won a Super Bowl. And again, maybe next season things are different. Maybe you guys won a playoff game. Maybe you'll finally get back to the Super Bowl. Maybe you'll get to that Super Bowl. And maybe Buffalo could finally win a Super Bowl. It's possible. But Bill, gotta chill out. Now, when I started, when I write down, notes for what I want to talk about each episode, and Frank Reich's name now, when I wrote his name down a couple days ago, he was thought of maybe being the next head football coach of the Carolina Panthers. Now, it got down to him and Steve Wilks from what sources are saying, and Frank won out, so he's now the new head football coach of the Carolina Panthers. Now, the reason being is, and the word is, that they wanted to go more, offensive. They want an offensive-minded coach, and certainly Frank does fit that bill. And again, Frank's job to come in is to pretty much try to build up, their offense. Now, for Steve Wilks did an excellent job from what he had to work with the Carolina. The team was in shambles. He came in, and there was a point in time he had the Carolina on the cusp of even a playoff spot. He did. So Steve did an outstanding job. And, of course, a lot of people felt that, at least within the organization, the players themselves felt that he should have gotten the job on a permanent basis. But again, David Tepper wanted to go in a different direction. He wanted an offensive-minded coach. Now, Frank comes in, and Frank has got certainly a lot of work to do. Now, Frank has had success as a head football coach in his league. He did a pretty decent job with the Indianapolis Colts. Has a winning record. Has been to the playoffs. He's won a Super Bowl as an assistant coach with the Philadelphia Eagles. So Frank does have some success in his league. Now, Frank's responsibility is going to be as simple as this, is to build the offense. The biggest problem is Frank is he's got a lot of work to do because the offensive line, it still needs a little work. You don't have a quarterback, and that's a big issue. Now, Sam Donald's a free agent. He's not coming back. I don't think he's going to come back. So who's going to be your new quarterback? 9 times out of 10, they could probably draft a quarterback. They have a chance, certainly, to get a decent quarterback in this draft. Again, your running game, are you going to keep Foreman and Hubbard? Are they going to be still your 1-2 punch? Or are you going in a different direction? That's something else that you got to take into consideration. Now, you have DJ Moore. Do you think Terrence Marshall could be a solid number 2 for you? are able to look for another number two and rusher number three. The tight ends, I'm not completely sold on tight ends. Can you draft a tight end? Can you find maybe that Darren Waller or, you know, the Darren Waller, or can you find the next Travis Kelce or something like that? The defense, now the defense doesn't need that much tweaking. The defense is not a bad defense. The biggest thing is the offense is a problem. Frank Reich's job is to come in and fit it. Now, to me, if I'm Frank, I don't know how much of an offense. It's not that, and to me, the Panthers' offense can't be that much different from the Colts' offense that you love. Now, granted this, I would say the Colts' offense, the quarterback situation might have been better because at least for the last several years, he's had veteran quarterbacks. Right now, you don't really have a quarterback. The offensive line, there was a point in time the Colts had a decent offensive line, but injuries, retirement has cost him a better offensive line. Now, certainly, I'll take Jonathan Taylor over anybody that you got. Yeah. So to me, you're losing a quality running back. Now, DJ Moore, Michael Pittman. I like DJ more than I like Michael Pittman, but again, there's your number one receiver. But then after that, you don't have the depth. Neither does the Panthers. Tight end, same situation. So to be honest with you, So to me, offensively, there's not that much difference between the Colts and the Panthers. The only difference is at least the quarterback situation might not have worked out, but he had veterans at quarterbacks. He doesn't have nothing to work with here, but he had veteran quarterbacks to work with. Now, to me, the problem is, who's going to want to come to Carolina? That's going to be the issue. And I get it. Again, we go to the same situation. Would Derek Carr go to Carolina? I'm not sure. And it ain't going to be Aaron Rodgers going there either. So you have to wonder, do you reach out for a Geno Smith? I don't see Geno going to Carolina. I still think Geno will re-sign with Seattle. The thing is, Frank Wright has got to come in, and he's got to right the ship. His job is to come in and fix that offense. And to me, I don't know if Steve Wilks had, to be honest with you, I think if Steve Wilks had hung on, if he had stayed on as a coach, I think Steve would have a hard time trying to rebuild this team, this offense. Now, the offensive line wasn't quite as bad last year. I mean, the Panthers were able to run the football. I mean, even when McCaffrey left town, they were still able to run the ball with Foreman and Hubbard. Foreman actually played well. It played pretty well. Yeah. And Foreman did a pretty good job, you know, a couple of seasons ago when Derek Hill got hurt. So he did step in and he did a pretty decent job. So Foreman has some potential there. I mean, Foreman could be the number one running back going into next season. Again, you still got DJ Moore. But can Terrence Marshall be number two? If not, you boost him in the three spot. You got to draft another receiver. Do you go and get a veteran receiver? And tight ends, you need to find that one tight end, that one particular tight end that can push your offense over. But again, that's going to be a strong thing for, that's going to be the big thing for Frank Reich. He's got to find a whole lot of pieces. And to be honest with you, like I said, there's not much difference since he's leaving Carolina and the Colts. And again, I think Frank is going to be scratching his head. Now, granted, he's a good coach. He's had success in his league. And again, I get it. Tampa Bay could be on the downswing if Brady's gone. The Saints have got a lot of questions to answer. And Atlanta's still a young team. So the problem is, can he could step into a decent situation with the possibility of maybe being a contender in that division. But he's got to find a quarterback. He's got to find an offense. He's got to work on the offense. And that's going to be a challenge for Frank. Can he work? Yeah. Can he work some magic? Now, again, what he's going to do is he going to go get Carson Wentz and bring him to Carolina. I don't see that working. He's going to get Nick Foles. I don't think he'll have the Wentz and Foles magic is going to work again anymore. So, again, to me, he's probably going to have to get a young quarterback in the draft. And he's going to have to, I hate to say it, he's going to be stuck with that young quarterback. He's going to be stuck at the hip of that quarterback. And, again, that could be a recipe for disaster. But I'm sure he'll probably try to find a veteran quarterback and then draft that young quarterback. To me, that's probably where he's going to go. To me, he'd probably stick with Foreman and Hubbard. But can he find the number two to go along with DJ Moore? He's got a lot of work to do in that offense. That's all I have time for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me. Take care of yourselves. See you again soon.